Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back. I'm very pleased to say, joined by an old friend, Robert Vandervoort. He is the director, executive director of a very important organization in Washington entitled Pro English. Pro English is an outfit that I will leave to him to describe its mission, but I find that the effort that he has espoused and led for a long time to try to raise up and help the rest of us appreciate American culture and values is incalculably important. So, Robert, we're joined by you at the Fair Radio Row, Hold Their Feet to the Fire, Federation for American Immigration Reform. That's been taking place over the past 2 days. Welcome, and thank you for joining us.
Well, Frank, thank you for having us. It's great to be here.
First of all, maybe we could talk a little bit about the mission of your organization and what specifically brings you to this particular program.
Sure. Well, Pro English has been around 20 years. We have members in all 50 states, and we are a national organization advocating making English the official language for the federal government and, frankly, for all levels of government, state and local. We also get involved in education and some other matters, too.
I suspect that most Americans think English is the official language of the United States. Explain why it's not.
Well, that's a very good point. In fact, the polling data shows most Americans think it already is the official language, and they're surprised when they discover it's not. And the polling data also shows that when they learn that it's not, they want it to be. So, you know, this is an education battle that we have to face.
Why isn't it, in fact, the law of the land at the moment that English is our language?
Well, I think that when the country was founded, there was just an assumption that you would come here and you could speak French or German or Dutch or any other language, but you would all learn English. These were English-speaking colonies. The founding documents were all written in English. There was just this assumption that the government was going to operate in English. So it never really occurred to people that they'd have to provide translations and accommodate people. It's really
and we throughout most of the nation's history, we were teaching people English and everything else in English in our schools, so that would be the default setting as well. Where did things jump the tracks?
Well, they really in the 1960s, you had this rise of multiculturalism, political correctness, and in the 70s, bilingualism, diversity, all this stuff kind of really started to take off. And by the 1980s, there was a group's coming around together saying, hey, we need to stop this and get back to having a unifying common language, a common culture, and that's where we stepped in.
Yeah. And, of course, your organization, Pro English, was up against a lot of other organizations, the so-called hyphenated Americans, I guess, interest operations that were promoting this idea that, no, you need to not actually have English be the only language, if not make theirs one of the official languages, certainly insist upon translation services and the right of their populations to be treated fully equally with everybody else in terms of linguistic services. Is that right?
That's true. Yeah, there's definitely groups out there that advocate for what I could only call a linguistic division. Instead of trying to bring people together, they want ballots printed in multiple languages. They want government services in multiple languages, which costs the taxpayers a tremendous amount of money, and it does nothing to promote assimilation.
I guess that's what I wanted to get back to, particularly because, of course, we are here at the Federation for American Immigration Reform, which holds up this idea that, you know, there is an American sovereign nation and people who are here should be here because they want to be part of that, not taking it down, not serving some other country or interest. Talk about the importance of assimilation linguistically as a sort of catalyst to other kinds of assimilation in a melting pot society that may be now a thing of the past.
Well, if you look around the country, we're seeing more and more linguistic enclaves of people who are basically cut off from the mainstream of American life because they don't speak any other language. I mean, they don't speak English. They speak other languages, but not the common language. And if you look to the north, just across the border in Canada, this is a country that's been divided for many years based on language. You know, the French-speaking Quebec have been arguing with the English-speaking western provinces, and this has been going on for years. Large amounts of tax dollars in Canada are spent just on translation services alone. And this is a relatively peaceful country. You can look across the ocean to Ukraine, and here's a country where the eastern portion is predominantly Russian-speaking, and the western portion is predominantly Ukrainian-speaking. And these people are really having a huge
at each other's
armed
throats.
Conflict, yes.
Yeah. But again, to the larger point, that to have a healthy country and one that is prosperous and that is secure, the role of a common language, an official common language, is what, as you see it? Is it something that is a helpful thing, or is it an absolutely essential thing because everything else more or less flows from it?
Oh, it's absolutely essential. It's one of the defining characteristics of what makes a nation is to have a common language. I mean, we can look over in Europe where they have all these different languages and there's huge translation costs. And we talked to Steve King. He came to on one of our panels at CPAC, and he spoke about how when he was visiting Israel, they looked to America as a model because we had English as a common language. Right after the creation of Israel, they had Jews who came from all around the world. Some spoke German, some spoke Spanish, some spoke Italian. And they said, how are we going to get along as a society if we can't agree on one common language? And they saw how America assimilated so many people with English. They decided to revive Hebrew. And Hebrew is the official language in Israel. It's worked very well as a melting pot for Israel. It's kind of ironic. It's working so well there to have a common language. And yet we were the model, and we're moving away from that.
We're walking away from it. Again, our guest is the executive director of Pro English, Robert Vandervoort. You mentioned Steve King. Steve King actually is a hero on so many of these fronts, notably on the whole effort to reestablish sensible, effective immigration policies, but he's also been a champion on making English the official language of the United States, as I understand it. Talk about his legislative efforts and where things stand in the House and hopefully in the Senate as well.
Sure, that's right. Steve King's been a champion on this issue, as he is on so many other issues. He in the Iowa State Legislature, he was the key state legislator to get Iowa to pass official English and get it signed into law. So that's one of the states that does have an official English book. English law on the books.
How many are there?
There are 31 states that have some form of official English, and obviously we want to get all of them, but that we've been making progress. And, of course, we want the federal government to make English the official language. And, again, Steve King has stepped up to the plate, and he's introduced this bill, H.R. 997. So your listeners should check it out, encourage their congressman to support it. And we're getting lots of co-sponsors, and we've in the past it's hit 100 co-sponsors. He just reintroduced it this year, so we're about.
It has to be reintroduced each year.
Every year, yeah.
It's not enacted. Is there a Senate counterpart measure at the moment?
There is a Senate counterpart. Senator James Inhofe has a bill that would do. It's a companion bill to Steve King's, and again, your listeners should encourage their senators to support that bill.
What are the prospects at the moment, as you see it, Robert?
Well, I think it's a matter of trying to convince the leadership in the Congress that this is the right thing to do. I mean, the polling data all shows the American people support this. If your listeners check out our website.
Especially if they have been operating under the illusion that this is already the case and isn't.
That's true. I mean, well, Rasmussen just did a poll, and we linked to it at our website at proenglish.org, it shows, this just came out a few months ago, 83% of Americans want English to be the official language. On almost no other issue will you find such agreement.
Generally not.
And
generally
just, not. Yeah, and so we just have to get the leadership to take it the next step.
And to translate that general sentiment into a pressure on the Congress as well. I'm delighted that you're here at the Federation for American Immigration Reform. Hold their feet to the fire, because this is certainly a topic on which that needs to be done. Robert, thank you for what you're doing at Pro English and for joining us. I hope that you'll come back with updates on how this legislation is faring, and encourage every one of you to visit your website, proenglish.org. Keep up the good work, and we'll talk with you again soon. I hope we'll talk with the rest of you again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Affney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.